Around 1 in every 1,000,000 of us humans can't feel pain, apparently, which sounds like a good condition to have. Actually, though, it's very dangerous, with people unable, for example, to tell if they've broken their bones. Yet, with their help, scientists have identified a gene now that coordinates the body's pain pathways. Chris Smith knows more about this breakthrough, which came from researchers at his very own Cambridge University. Chris, hello there.
Hello, Fran.
Chris, tell us first about this condition and then what it's taught us about pain and pain pathways.
There are a number of defined conditions that can lead to congenital inability to sense pain. And as you say, it sounds like quite an attractive prospect. And indeed, this is the sort of horror story that the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo story sequence is based on, because you'll remember there's a character in there who can take a real battering in a fight and doesn't go down because
yes.
He can't experience pain. And if you look in these individuals, their nervous system, in some cases, completely lacks the nerve pathways in the peripheral nerves, in other words, the nerves that connect the parts of your body to your spinal cord, which would normally convey painful stimuli. These are called C and A delta fibers. They're amongst some of the smallest nerves in your body in terms of their caliber. But when you stimulate them, they fire signals into the spinal cord to a specific part of the spinal cord, which registers this patch of the body is being injured or subject to some kind of harmful stimulus. You need to pay attention to it. These people don't have those nerves if they have the condition that Jeff Woods and Alva Chen at Cambridge Institute for Medical Research have identified. And as a result, they can injure themselves hideously. And very often you can get very bad joint deformities, you can get very bad lacerations and burns to skin because people just don't have the protective reflex that's there in all of us. Pain is a good thing because it keeps us safe.
Does that mean that some of us have more of those C and A delta fibres, those nerve endings, and therefore some of us feel pain more easily? We're not just being silks, it's actually a real thing?
Well, it's probably not the density of the nerves that makes such a difference to our ability to have a pain threshold so much as electrically how those cells work. Because about 10 years ago, the same group, Jeff Woods and his colleagues, they had actually identified on the surfaces of nerve cells a special receptor which is a pore, and it can open and allow electrical signals to go inside the nerve and create signals that then go along the nerve and tell the spinal cord this part of your body is subject to pain. And they discovered some families in Pakistan who had a problem with these pores on the surface of the nerve cells, and those individuals also couldn't feel any pain, but in their case it was because the electrical activity was different. So we think that pain thresholds are probably partly to do with the way these pores work. In this instance, though, it's slightly different, because what they did was they found about 160 people who had been defined with one of these I can't feel pain ever states since I was born. They compared them genetically, letter by letter, this is painstaking work, with 20,000 normal people. And the way you're doing what you're doing with this sort of regimen is the rationale is you say, right, I'm looking for changes genetically that keep cropping up time and time again in the people who do have this condition and are never present in the people who don't have the condition. And if you look at enough people in enough detail, which is what they've done, eventually you see the same hotspot on the DNA popping up. There's always that spelling error in that part of the DNA, and then you go hunting and you say, well, what is that part of the DNA? And they found this gene called PRDM12. Now, they don't know exactly how this gene works, but when they look at what it does in a cell, it goes into the nucleus, the DNA of the cell, the protein this gene makes, and it turns on and off other genes. So it's some kind of master regulator. But the really exciting thing, as Jeff Woods explained to me, was, well, actually, it's only expressed, it's only switched on this gene in the nervous system, and more exclusive than that, it's only turned on in parts of the nervous system that convey pain sensation. So if they can work out how this thing works, what it's doing in these nerve cells, then we've got an opportunity to work out how to produce a very, very pain-selective nerve agent so that you could perhaps treat pain states, because a lot of people suffer with an abnormality of nerves called neuropathic pain, and also produce much more selective painkillers for people who are undergoing surgery or have temporary painful conditions they want to be rid of.
Right, amazing. Chris, robots, they don't feel pain, and that's part of the problem. They don't know how to fix themselves if something goes wrong, but researchers are working on that. They've come up with an algorithm that allows robots to learn. Should we be scared of this, worried about this?
Well, according to Jeff Kloon, who is the researcher who has pioneered this paper in Nature this week, his bold statement to me when I spoke to him was, all robots will become better as a result of this work. And he doesn't mean better in terms of cure themselves. He means they're going to work a lot better. What they've basically done is to come up with a complete rethink of how we design algorithms that program robots and how to make them work. Because one of the big sort of bottlenecks in using robots is that as soon as something goes wrong with a robot, it can no longer follow its static computer programming because it doesn't know how to fix itself. So they said, let's meet this challenge head on, and they have designed a completely new way of making robots actually work so that robots can basically work out how to fix themselves or get round, surmount a problem if one crops up. So to give you an example, if you were to, as Jeff Klune put it to me, if you stood on a drawing pin and you had a painful heel, what would you do? Well, you'd walk around on tiptoe for a while to A, get rid of the pain, and B, keep going so you could get to the doctor. Well, robots wouldn't know how to do that, but his robots can. And the way they do this is that they give them what they call a simulated youth or childhood. They basically let the robot program play around in a virtual space in a computer, working out all of the potential movements its parts of its body can make. This forms a big database, and the robot can then, when part of it is disabled, it can very quickly, within, you know, under a couple of minutes, home in on the parts of its body that it can use instead to get round the blockade and carry on moving. And one very funny example is they thought, well, we'll see what happens when we really stump it. So they gave it the instruction, you're not allowed to use any of your feet touching the floor. So in other words, they disabled the robot as though none of its feet could work. And what the robot did, actually, was to flip itself onto its back and walk on its back, because it looks like a beetle, and just crawl around on its elbows, which you think, well, that's pretty intelligent. And I said, well, are we in danger of creating a generation of robots that might see fit to get rid of us? And he said, I don't think we're quite there yet, but that's a conversation that needs to be had.
Indeed. And we will have that conversation, I'm sure, in the weeks and months ahead. Chris, talk to you again on Friday. Thanks.
Thanks, Fran. Bye-bye.
Dr. Chris Smith. And you can catch him at 10 o'clock tonight with The Naked Scientist right here on RN.